This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
Good morning, my friends. It is Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. My name is Woodsy. Happy Thursday to you. Thank you, Tier 1s, for getting up early, tuning into either your radio dial or the radio.com app, and listening to your favorite radio program. It's good to have you here with us. And by us, I mean the whole crew in here, minus one, Ben Higgins, who usually gets here about 5:30. I got the hammer to my right. How you doing, buddy?
Awesome today.
Big day for you today.
So excited.
We've got a new segment we will be debuting. We have no idea how it's going to go. But I think if you've never listened to our show, that's one of the things you'll like about our show is that we'll try stuff. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't at all.
This could be one of those.
This could be one of those.
Yeah, no pressure.
No pressure.
You might not be invited back for tomorrow.
Correct.
Did you hear our boss yesterday when we brought this idea up?
He's like,
if you want to axe it, just go ahead.
Just do it, but feel free to boot it if it doesn't work. I think it's going to work.
Me too.
I have a lot of faith in the hammer here. And you'll see what hammer time is. Coming up when, Paul? Around 5:45?
In this hour, yes.
Yeah, you're going to hear it this hour. It's a new segment, Hammer Time, because we've got an absolute gem sitting here. And the fact that he's in there just answering phones, that's not going to cut it, as far as I'm concerned. Want to use everybody we can. Want to squeeze every drop out of that lemon, Hammer. Not that you're a lemon. You're a good guy.
I'm an orange, if anything.
You're an orange, if anything. We got producer Paul Reindl. Good morning, Paulie.
Let's see how we doing.
Doing very well. And we got Jeff McBrayer on the controls right now. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
I'm just here.
Oh, boy. All right. We'll probably need to address that elephant in the room here at some point. But tomorrow will be Jeff's last day on the Ben and Woods program. Jeff, you'll be missed, man. It's been a short time, but it's been a good time. It's been a good time.
I've had fun.
Yeah, so have we, man. We really have. And obviously wish you the very best in your next move, which starts, what, Monday? Are you going to do the bit where you're going to take a week or so before you start the new gig?
I didn't do that when I came here, and I kind of regretted it.
Of course you do. It's the move.
Yeah, I think this time I'm going to.
Dude, you absolutely should. If you have another job lined up, and they say, hey, when are you going to start? You want to start Monday? No, I don't. I'm taking a week, at least a week to myself. To do nothing, to do whatever, and then I'll see you on this date. But listen, today is a weird...
Happened to us a couple months ago.
Yes, it did. Now, that was...
One week turned into...
A month.
Two and a half months.
Was it that? Wasn't that long? It was like a month, wasn't it?
Yeah, a month
so
and
we
half.
Got the deal signed, at least.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, days like today in radio, hey, listen, you earn your paycheck today. This is what you do. We got 4 hours to fill. And there were no games last night other than, I believe, a Triple-A All-Star game, which, I mean, if you can do 4 hours on a Triple-A All-Star game, more power to you.
The Cholos played last night.
As I said, there was only one game last night, a Triple-A All-Star game. No, I'm just kidding. I don't watch that soccer. I don't know anything about it, so I wouldn't care to speak to it. That being said, every now and then, the radio gods will smile upon you, and they will deliver you a gift. And we have a gift this morning for you, dear friends.
Oh my God.
I have two words for you. Bagel Boss. And I don't know that you've heard it yet. Don't know that you've seen the accompanying video. But this, I'll set it up. And then I'm just going to play you the audio because it really speaks for itself. There's a store in Long Island called Bagel Boss, right? And the guy goes in there to get a bagel. And the girl behind the counter smiles at him. And that's all that happened. After she smiled at him, this happened.
Why is that okay?
The great, why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that up? Dude. Everywhere I go, I get the same smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not scared, pal.
Enough.
You shut up, too.
Shut the f*** up.
You're in attack, you big
f***. Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I just f***ed Daniels.
All right, so, you know, look, it's 2019.
That was from Olivia Bradley 88 on Twitter. 18 million views, and it hasn't been 24 hours yet.
Correct. So just to kind of explain to you what you just heard, a very, very short guy, he's 5 feet tall, goes in to get a bagel. The girl behind the counter smiles at him. He doesn't like the way she smiles. He takes that as she's looking at him going, oh, this guy's really short, and making fun of him. So he starts lighting her up. That's when the homegirl behind her starts filming what's going on. And then he just takes all of the rage and all of the embarrassment of clearly he's embarrassed by being short. And clearly he wears it a lot from people because he's short, especially on dating sites. Now, I myself have never been on a dating site. Never once. Is it awful?
It is awful.
And you're a good-looking guy.
And I kind of feel him in the sense of, like, when you get rejected on a dating site,
bro,
it is the worst feeling in the world. This girl hasn't even met me yet, and she don't like me?
Right. How tall are you, Hammer?
Six foot.
I disagree. I'm not. I was on it for a little while. I think because there's no connection and you're not face-to-face, way worse to walk up to a girl at a bar
and get killed.
Rejected face to face. You message somebody on Bumble or whatever and they don't message you back. Like, oh, whatever, move on.
Jeff, you're married. You've got a kid. Ever been on a dating site?
We met on a dating site.
You did? Okay, yes. So it worked out for you.
Yeah.
So I've never been on one. I never had to. I missed the wave.
You're old.
Right? I was old. Yeah, I'm old. And I met my wife in person. I know they can be gnarly. I've got a lot of friends on them. I find them delightful because I love to go through with my friends and be like, yes, no, 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 yes, yes, yes. But like I was saying, it's 2019. This dude is clearly, I don't want to say mentally ill, but he's had it.
He's got short man syndrome.
He's got short man syndrome, and that's a real thing. He is really upset. And so the girl smiles at him. He doesn't like that, what he perceives as a smirk.
If you've seen the video, I mean, he's not like...
No, he's short as F.
He's not a little person.
No.
But he's 5 feet tall at max.
I'll put him in my pocket.
Cute little guy.
I'll wear him around my neck, and it's not going to bother me. He's a little guy. He's a little dude. And he's just over it. And he's just furious. Look, and like you said, there is a part of me that absolutely sympathizes with him. Because I'll tell you this, two of my best friends in the entire universe are short. They're short guys. One's probably 5'9". One's, 5'10" now is kind of considered short.
That's not short at all.
And it's the first thing girls ask on a dating site. How tall are you? How tall are you?
I think my bio or whatever when I had...
6'4".
It was, also I'm tall. Apparently that matters.
Yeah, apparently that matters. There's a friend I have in the local media, very attractive girl, and I want to set her up with one of my buddies who is a very attractive dude. First question, how tall is he? I'm like, look at his face. The guy's, he's beautiful. Yeah, how tall is he? I'm like, he's like 5'10". He's probably like 5'9". And she's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm like, you're kidding me. Because he's what? Because she's a tall girl. But men are shallow. God, of course we're shallow. We get roasted for being shallow all the time. Here's the deal. Women are shallow, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Women are very shallow as well. You ever see a really ugly baseball player? Go look at his girlfriend. She's not ugly. Trust me.
Those hockey players?
The hockey players that
oh
are
my
hideous.
God.
Yeah, their girlfriends
Mr. 3T, their girlfriends, beard down to here.
Their girlfriends are dimes.
Alex Ovechkin.
Ovechkin. Alex Ovechkin looks like a butt. And his girl is an absolute dime. So this isn't a commentary on... who's more shallow, men or women, because I think men are going to win every time. But women do. That is the thing for them. It's almost like, well, he's not that attractive, but at least he's 6'2". At least he has, you know, full head of hair. I mean, those are the things that kind of matter to women down the road. But this guy, man, and we'll play it again for you. But
I don't sympathize with him at all.
Do you not?
You can't just...
No, I get it. You can't go in there and just go... He snapped.
You can't just flip out in a bagel store, and then he turns... There's two guys involved that get involved.
Yeah.
The first guy who he refers to, you're not my boss.
He comes up to his belt.
God, he's at his waistline.
He's at his waistline.
He's like, I'll take you outside
right
now.
I respect that, though. There's such a little guy, and he's like, let's go.
Well, then finally, another guy now
from off frame
says, hey, calm down, pal. And he goes, oh, you want to go too? And then you
boom!
Hear just the guy gets pummeled.
Let's hear it.
It looked like Ray Lewis out there.
Let's hear it again from the beginning, now that you kind of know the backstory.
Why is that okay? Why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Genius.
Women in general have said it on dating sites.
Pause.
Everywhere I go, I get the same f***ing smirk with the biting lip.
So he is basically taking out years of frustration. Women have said to him, you're 5 feet, you should be dead. That's awful.
That's way too far, though.
It's way too far.
He has a right to be upset.
But you can't go in there. I can't go to...
Is it even possible that the guy might be overselling it a little? Like, do you think our girls actually told him you should be dead?
Absolutely. 100%. I'd bet my kid on it. Yes.
And that's a dark place.
Dude, it's a dark, dark place. And people will literally be like, what are you, 5 feet tall? Kill yourself. I mean, absolutely. You've seen, Paul, you've seen the other side. What men say to women, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Like, through the roof, like, holy cow, that was completely unwarranted. That's an unwarranted picture of your penis. Like, no one wants to see that. But, oh, my God. So, it's like, I can't go into a Cracker Barrel and sit down and just look at the waiter and be like, what are you looking at? And start yelling at him for every bad thing that's happened. I don't know why this guy snapped. Makes me a little nervous. He makes me obviously a little nervous. A guy like that is pretty unstable. Keep it going.
Why is that okay? Why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that up? Everywhere I go, I get the same f***ing smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not scared of you, pal.
Enough.
You shut up, dude.
Shut
just
the
f*** up. Go ahead and attack me, big
oh. No problem. Consider yourself attacked.
Go ahead and attack me.
Boom. All right. So then this is just classic. Daniel Rosner is the owner of Bagel Boss on Long Island. This is how you market. Major League Baseball, take note of Daniel Rosner. A message from Bagel Boss. After today's incident, everyone is okay. Use caution on dating sites, and anyone who comes into our locations and mentions this video can get a free mini bagel.
Genius.
A mini bagel.
My dog.
My man. Like, oh. You're marketing genius. The guy should be running Pepsi.
A mini bagel.
Nike, get on the phone with this guy.
That's how it's done.
That's exactly how it's done.
So that is Bagel Boss. I'm sure you'll hear more Bagel Boss. I'm sure there'll be follow-up stories of Bagel Boss. I thought it was amazing. My wife's mad at me for something. She texted me enough. I don't know what that means. What did I do now? God, she's always mad at me. Just don't listen then if you're going to get so upset, right?
I like it better when she just, instead of texting you enough, I like it when she just calls.
No, I don't want her to call in today because we have to go to break because coming up next, we will play you one of our favorite interviews we've ever done in the 15 or so months that we've been doing Ben and Woods together. Cody Decker, almost career minor leaguer, retired last week in grand fashion, hit a walk-off home run. You know Cody Decker if you lived in San Diego. He was a Padres draft pick. Really active on social media, has one of the most beautiful wives you'll ever see in your life. Just a really dynamic couple. They're actually going to be working for Entercom now, which is great, so he's in the family. We're going to play that for you next. He joined us yesterday on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Coming up next, the 97.3 The Fan Spotlight with Cody Decker.
All my life I've been
searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close.
97.3 The Fan, it's Ben and Woods. We are waiting for Ben Higgins, and what we will do for you pretty much every day at this time is we'll replay you either one of our interviews or one of Coach's interviews or one of Gwen and Chris's interviews. But yesterday, we'll pat ourselves in the back. We had a really, really fun time with Cody Decker. He's great, man. He was phenomenal. And he is retired from baseball, and you will hear his story now. Join the SDCCU Fan Hotline. It is the 97.3 The Fan Spotlight with Cody Decker.
Cody, it's good to have you on with Ben and Woods here in San Diego. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, but I want to call something out real quick. You mentioned that I played for the San Diego Padres organization for a long time. I did get to the big leagues in 2015 with them.
I remember, and I was rooting for you. I mean, I was really like, – I don't think I've ever had a player I wanted to succeed more than you, but I didn't know if it was a sore point because you got up and you played in, what, like 8 games, and you never got
slow
a
down.
Hit.
I appeared in
appeared.
I didn't play at all.
Hey, Dak, have you been appearing and playing?
You wanted the conversations were, hey, Deck, have you ever pinched hit in your life? No. Great. Go hit Kenley Jansen.
All right. Sounds good.
September is fun.
Let's be
isn't
real
it?
Clear.
September huh? is a fun month in baseball, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, you get all the young guys up, they get a chance to play, and then I'm sitting there watching them, and then I haven't hit in 2 weeks, and they, hey, Deck, what was your last at bat? 11 days ago? Great. Bumgarner's got a no-hitter in the eighth. Good luck.
Good guys. Did that really happen?
Yes, that happened.
Oh my God! So what was you probably remember? What of your at bats? I think there were like 11 of them. Which one was the closest?
There was 11.
You got to getting a hit.
It was probably my finally. I got one start, and it was at Dodger Stadium. And after two, finally my third at bat, I felt comfortable. I at that point I had only like 5 at bats. I'd been there for like a month, and 20 days, and I finally get a start in. First of that, I felt like it was Travis Wood, lefty, weird, funky
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, his 91 at the time looked like 101 because I hadn't seen an arm in a week. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I got to get on time. And so my next at bat, I K'd my first at bat, then I flew out. And I'm like, all right, now I'm feeling good. Good, finally, and a little bit of rhythm. And I hit on him. I'll remember this my whole life. It's like one of those things that you still have fever dreams about and night terrors. Because he throws me a fastball up and in, and I smoke it down the left field line and just hook foul by a foot. And I'm like, oh, come on, just something, land. And then, of course, he throws me like a backdoor slider that I had to battle against and like ground out on. But it was a special time. I just wish I got a little more opportunity.
If you had gotten a hit, you might have stayed in the major leagues, and you never would have become a doctor in Minnesota. And I'll think of all the kids' lives that would have been lesser for it, Cody.
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. Like, I don't have a single regret about what happened. I mean, I just look at it now. I'm like, man, I'm really good at pinch hitting now. I've done it for the last 2 years, 3 years, really. You put me in the big leagues, and I'll be the best pinch hitter in baseball now. At the time, I was an everyday player trying to pinch hit. I'm like, hey. Mark Hopkins, the hitting coach, hey, man, what do I do? He's like, I don't know. Don't get out. I'm like, well, thanks.
That's phenomenal.
We're paying him for that, right?
You know, I was going to ask you, too. We're talking to Cody Decker here on Ben and Woods. And you just said it. You know, you don't have any regrets with the way that things turned out. Because, look, at the end of the day, you can say you were one of what? I think the number just came out. There's only been like 19,000 big leaguers, and you are in that fraternity, hit or not. It doesn't matter. You made it to the show, and I of course you want to get a knock. Of course you do. Of course you want to yak one out off Kenley Jansen. But, dude, you were a big leaguer, and nobody can ever take that away from you.
No, I'm very pleased with my career. You know, my career is what it was. I was a guy, according to the head of Players Association, what's his name? For some reason,
Tony Clark.
Right now. Tony Clark, this is a direct quote from him when I asked him, because I remember I was playing for the Royals after the Padres. I was in spring training, and I was really close to making the team, but my contract wasn't guaranteed. And I looked down because we had a meeting where he talked about a bunch of things I didn't care about. And then I just finally asked, hey, when are you going to take care of a guy like me? You know, I did get to the big league last year, and I paid those dues both figuratively and literally. Why am I not protected? And his quote to me is just the epitome of what my career was. And he just said, well, Dak, you got to understand, you were a guy that was never supposed to make it.
Wow.
And I just stared at him like, nah, it was probably an answer to a question, just not the one I just asked.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I saw the stat, though, that Woods mentioned that just getting there, if you took every baseball player that ever appeared in a major league game, put them in one spot, they wouldn't even fill half of one ballpark.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how few people have ever gotten there.
The odds of getting to the big leagues, you are there's better odds of you getting struck by lightning twice within about 5 hours of itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because one of my buddies is an agent, and they had a kid get called up from the Yankees to Tampa Bay before the All-Star break. They called him up for one day, and he went back down to the minors, and they called him and asked him, hey, you know, are you okay? And he goes, it was the best day of my life. It was the best day of my life, period. I watched the Yankees play the Rays from the bullpen. It was the best day of my life. I just thought that was so cool.
It was a great time. I mean, I did go to a very dysfunctional Padres team, but it was
was that when Pat Murphy was managing?
Yeah, it was. That was quite a 21 days.
And didn't Pat Murphy try to convert you into a catcher for the next team?
He tried to convert me to a catcher for like 4 years, and the Padres were just like, no.
Oh, my gosh. Did you want to do that, or would you have done it? You would have done it. You tried it.
I was doing it. I played more positions. For a guy that they tell me that, you don't have a position, I sure played six of them.
That's so good.
What's your career ERA? I mean,
unfortunately, here's the bad news. It's 3.4, but it's only because I had one third of an inning one time where I gave up two earned runs. The rest of my career, pretty flawless. Only one run in 8 appearances in the PCL, which, by the way, hitters league.
Hand. Oh yeah. I gotta ask you about
not with this 45 throwing on the mound, baby.
I gotta ask you this. So obviously the way you ended your career was spectacular, a walk off home run. Were you gonna retire that day, or did you just think that did it just hit you crossing home plate? This is the day I'm out.
No, I told the D-backs 2 days earlier that I was hanging them up after that series, and told my teammates the day before. A few of them already kind of knew. I had some opportunities off the field that I couldn't pass up the opportunity to take. And as I was looking at my career and talking to my family and talking to my wife, you know, just looked at it, man. It's time. You know, the D-backs, by the way, I just want to say, the best organization I've ever played for, and I mean by far. Just the way they treat their players, the way they handle their situations, and the amount of honesty they give you. They were never quiet to me that, well, you know, getting back to the big leagues, it's going to take a lot. Like, we're going to try and sell you to Asia, but, man, we're just not going to be able to give you enough at bats because we got a lot of young guys. We got to play, and I understand that 100%. I'm 32. I want to draft by you. You don't have a huge financial investment in me. I get it. And they put me in a position to where, you know, I needed to be, for lack of a better phrase, they're Crash Davis, mentor young guys, and really handle myself so they can see how guys handle themselves professionally. And, you know, I busted my ass, and we had a great time, and they were just fantastic all the way through. And I was afraid to tell them that I'm going to leave you, that I'm like, they were like, well, you can go home now if you like. But no, they were like, we're really happy for you. You know, we'll get you out there, and, you know, we'll get a few more games out of you. And I remember I went out there in that game. I hadn't played in, like, 2 weeks. I was on the DL with the same contusion that they told me I had a week earlier. And it miraculously healed out of nowhere.
Yeah, they told you you had it. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, well, they told me, hey.
You needed a roster spot for someone else. We know how it works.
I didn't say that.
He didn't say that. We said that.
I would never say that. Anyways, they activate me, and I haven't had a bat in like a week and a half. I go up there, my first at bat, I K. Second at bat, I K. Third at bat, I K. So things were going great. I'm playing left field. I'm a serviceable left fielder. I'm never going to sit here and say I'm the best left fielder in the world, but I was actually having a pretty good day in left field. We get to the 8th inning. We're down by 1. I come up with a bases loaded, and I hit a single to the left to tie the game. We end up taking the lead, and we're in the 9th, and I'm still in there, and just, you know, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to end my career. Great. I'm going to end my career on an RBI game tying single.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Done.
That's a good day. Good job, you know? Salvage the 0-for-3 and do a 1-for-4 with an RBI single. We're about to win. Fantastic. Well, our closer, Jimmy Sherfy, who does not give up a lot of runs, somehow gave up 2 runs. And I'm playing left field, and I remember when the first run came in, I'm just like, they take the lead. I'm like, whatever. I'm hitting third next inning. I'm going to walk off. Now, I didn't believe it when I said that. I was just, like, fired up. And, you know, leadoff guy gets on base. I come up, and the guy's throwing fire. It's their closer. He's throwing 98, you know, thin air over in Reno. So that 98 looks like it's coming at 148. All I kept thinking was, I didn't even think about it being my last bat. It never even crossed my mind. All I thought was get on time to the fastball. If he throws me three great sliders, he's got me. And that's fine. I don't mind swinging through three good sliders. But if he throws me a fastball, I'm not missing it. First pitch fastball, foul it back. So I come out of the box screaming at myself, like, you're kidding me, you got one shot, hit the fastball. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're here. We are in rapt attention. I'm just sitting here listening. I love it. Edit this part out and we replay it.
Sorry. Next pitch, I'm like, get on time the fastball. Just get on time, you idiot. What are you doing? So I get in the dugout, I get in the box, fastball, hammer it. That was the first time in my career I hit a ball, and I, you know, every time everything slowed down for a split second where I went, you should pimp this. Never pimped a home run in my career.
Correct.
I don't have a whole lot of swag. I'm a Jewish kid from Santa Monica. But I'm thinking, maybe I should pimp this. Make it look sweet. But then the other thought came in my head, immediately going, but what if it doesn't go out and hits the wall, and you're sitting on first base like a douche? So I book it like a bat out of hell, which a bat out of hell for me is like a good hard jog for other people. So I go out down the first base, ball goes out. I'm like, all right, I should slow down, maybe make a scene. And at the time, I thought I'd slow down. I was fist pumping. Instead, I was looking at the footage later. I was still on a dead sprint with my arm halfway raised.
Kind of scared to raise it all the way.
A little bit of a Kirk Gibson sort of thing.
Not too much, but enough. I'm like, wow. And I remember watching it later. I'm like, man. Is that really all the swag I got? That's embarrassing.
Hey, man, the way you ended it, though, it's a dream. It's hitting a home run anywhere is really, really hard to do. I thought it was such a special moment. And
oh, really? It's hard? I've done it 206 times.
That's true. It's hard for most of us. It's really, really hard to do. We're talking to Cody Decker here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, you talk about some opportunities that you have off the field. Obviously, you're really comfortable on social media. That's a big thing. You're really comfortable, talking. That's also a big thing. Is that what you want to do? Do you want to broadcast? Or have you ever saw yourself as a baseball lifer, a guy that's going to go back and manage or coach or do anything like that?
Well, I've had a few manager opportunities over the last couple of years. My dream job my whole life was always to be a big league manager, even since I was like 14. Now, everyone wants to be the big, you know, the 12-year all-star, but I really wanted to eventually be a major league manager. I looked up to like my mentor, Reggie Smith. He never managed in the big leagues, and I always thought he should, because I always thought he'd be the best manager in the world, and I learned from him. But I'm going to say I don't know the process to get there anymore, and I wasn't really eager to leave my minor league career after 11 years to go back into a new minor league career starting all over. There wasn't like a whole lot of enjoyment that I saw, you know, coming to manage in, you know, Fort Wayne for a few years to then hopefully move my way up. But this is what I am doing. Me and my wife, we both accepted a 3-year contract with Entercom. We are going to have a daily live national sports show. That'll be 3 hours. It'll be basically my wife arguing over sports and hopefully not ruining our marriage.
That is phenomenal. Welcome to the Entercom family then, Cody. We are now brothers in arms. Yeah.
Why do you think I was so comfortable coming on your show?
Exactly. Take that. It's the family connection. I love it. So happy. Now, how does this work?
It's going to be on radio.com sports. Entercom's going to launch the whole new sports network on radio.com. We're pretty fired up. We got that. We're going to have a once-a-week podcast. We are just jazzed about doing a live show, especially the opportunity of having it be a national thing. We're going to have a lot of fun with this. And I don't know if you've heard my silky smooth tones, but, you know, this show's clearly based on me alone.
I mean, I'm also a guy, Cody. Look, like I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I also outkicked my coverage in marriage as well, so I can totally
and
relate.
I've done a podcast with my wife. Any advice on working so closely with the spouse?
Yeah.
Time out. I outkicked my coverage.
Yeah, you did.
This jawline.
Yeah, I've seen you have it. Look, I'm chubby, so I definitely outkicked mine. But
well,
yeah,
I'm jacked.
You are jacked. That's true. You're a home run hitter. That's true. God,
what happened to the hair on top of your head?
Uh oh.
What, me?
Yeah.
You tried playing minor league baseball for 11 years and being married to Jen.
That's fair. God bless, man. That is awesome.
I still have hair on the top of my head. What are you doing?
I'm just looking at it. Did you shave it down or something? I see a lot of beard,
no,
not a lot on top.
I shaved the sides.
Just the sides, okay.
I got a high fade going here. What are you doing?
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
Take away what I have.
He doesn't know what a high fade is.
I do. Will Smith from Fresh Prince of Bel Air, right?
All right, dude. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and grow my hair out long and have some sweet locks like
yeah.
Bray Wyatt.
Dude, grow the lettuce, man. Try to look like Chris Paddock is the next
look. I'm
going to
look like Robert Redford in that famous GIF.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect.
I saw that's not Zach Galifianakis. That's Robert Redford.
Why does everyone not know that's Robert Redford?
I had no idea. I just found that out yesterday, that famous, that gif that looks
who
like Zach Galifianakis
Zach
is actually
Galifianakis
Robert Redford.
With Robert Redford.
Ben does. That's good. I do have advice working with your wife. I did a podcast with mine. Just make sure that her family understands her sense of humor, because I would get these mean messages from like her aunts and stuff that didn't really understand our banter, because you know they don't live with us, so they don't know the way we talk and banter. And finally it got to be to where I was like, I'm not doing it anymore. They don't understand that I'm not some misogynist pig or whatever. Like, I'm not doing this.
Good news. You clearly don't know Jen and my dynamic. I have a feeling she's going to be the one getting a lot more texts from family.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect.
Well, Cody.
Let's be real clear. My name should really be Cody Sturger.
I know the feeling. Trust me. I know the feeling.
Cody, congratulations.
Well, by the way, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, you have just enough time. Yeah.
You're a San Diego Padre station, so you should also know that I also accepted a associate executive director job for a nonprofit in El Paso, Texas. We are, it's called the El Paso Border Youth Athletic Association. We are building a spring training complex in El Paso, and the goal is to get more kids in El Paso into college through baseball and softball. Huge community, huge baseball-loving community, and we're basically going to put in a gigantic state-of-the-art facility, not to mention a top-of-the-line strength and conditioning program, a top-of-the-line throwing program. I'm working with Joe Bimel and Brent Dean at Bimel Elite Athletics in El Segundo, California, bringing them in. We want to make El Paso, Texas, a destination for baseball, especially in the offseason, even for pro guys. We want pro guys to come in and train with us. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I bet you never envisioned becoming pillar of the community in El Paso, Texas. When
what
you were growing up in Santa Monica.
Have you gone yet?
It's been years since I've been there. It wasn't great when I went.
Oh, you guys got to go check out a Chihuahuas game, man. That, you want a time. What a time.
That ballpark looks sweet. I will say that.
Oh, man. Everything around it, that city, it's like a brand new city. And it's just getting bigger and bigger. And it's so fantastic. I mean the Padres, if the Padres are smart, they will try and lock El Paso in for another 45 years.
That's Cody,
awesome.
Great stuff. We're looking forward to the radio.com show with Jen. We're out of time, but great. We really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much and congratulations.
Oh, no, man. Thank you guys for having me on. You guys go keep having a relatively good show.
Thank you. We'll take that. We'll take that from Cody.
Committed to mediocrity
is where we fall.
That'll do it for us.
Why do you think you have me on?
That was Cody Decker on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now at sdccu.com. That went on a little longer than we usually do there,
yeah.
Woodsy, but for reason.
He can talk, man. That's good.
I can't wait to hear what is next, his new show with his wife. And I mean, that's probably just going to lead to more and bigger things for Cody Decker. He was always geared up for what was coming up after his baseball
career.
Yeah,
he was smart, man. He was setting that up long, long ago.
All right, we'll let you know what's coming up. We got a big morning going all the way until 9 o'clock here on Ben and Woods. But up next, I heard you talking about it earlier. We're going to try something a little bit new.
Oh, boy.
Here on Ben and Woods.
Oh,
get to know
boy.
One of our colleagues a little bit better.
I'm nervous. Are you nervous?
Hammer Time coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't forget, visit our 97.3 The Fan website for local original content from Ben and Woods, including my new Ben's Back Nine vlog that went up this morning.
USOB.
Part two of a three-part series.
What's the next one going to be? Your top 15 favorite golf balls.
Got a couple of weeks to come up with that one.
Your favorite shafts.
You know what? We have a golf shafts. We're blessed by the riches of all the golf courses in town, and I just thought I played like all of them in North County, like within 15 miles of where I grew up. Let's rank them. Give you my opinion on all the courses. I actually got a lot of response last week. People were like, can't wait for part two. So today, part two is up.
The burrito hotline is now open, everybody.
Go to 973thefansd.com, and you can also win a Las Vegas road trip. Ben Woods, good morning to you here on 97.3 The Fan. I think you're a genius if you can somehow take advantage of the Wednesday night after the All-Star game. For years, there was nothing. It was dead. And then I think they put the ESPYs that night, and then the AAA All-Star game thought, well, that would be smart. Let's do it that night. And that, now you've got a couple of things going on. But really, it is, as you mentioned earlier, Woods, it is the deadest sports night of the year. There's at least one baseball game tonight. I think it's the Astros and the Rangers.
Thank God. I'm watching that. I can't wait.
It's like a Sunday night baseball type broadcast. I'm all in.
Thank God. Best game I've ever seen.
But honestly, if the ESPYs were any of the other 364 nights of the year, don't know that I'd watch. But because it was last night.
You watched the ESPYs?
It was on Channel 10. So
you had to.
I was at work. I did watch a good chunk of it last night. Not start to finish. I can't say that I was overly thrilled. It was rough at
times.
It's tough. You know, Tracy Morgan was the host, and I like Tracy Morgan. Obviously, you know, he's come back from what are you getting in something like a
catastrophic
car accident?
Terrible.
You know, I root for the guy to come back. Wasn't particularly funny,
right?
You know, in my opinion, some of the athletes that get up there, they're just not good public speakers. Like Jared Goff and Kansas City quarterback. It's too early.
Mahomes.
It's 5 o'clock. Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, got the award for the best game. They were the speakers on behalf of the Rams and Chiefs for the best game of the year. The Monday Night Football. Oh, it was
painful.
Just painful to watch them up there. But I did watch a little bit. I guess the big story would have been the U.S. Women's National Team. They had a big day. They woke up in New York City, had a ticker tape parade through the streets of Manhattan with a big, you know, finish in front of City Hall or whatever it was. They all got up and speak. You don't expect to then see them on television on the West Coast a couple of hours later, but they like all got in a plane, did all their hair, makeup, wardrobe on the plane as they flew over, got to the ESPYs just in time. And then at the end of the show, they were the winners for the best team of the year on the ESPY Awards, and they got to get all up there one more time. And Carly Lloyd spoke for the team accepting the ESPY Award last night.
Wow, it's amazing. We literally just got off a plane a couple hours ago, got hair and makeup in the plane, and we look pretty fabulous, I think. thank you to ESPN, all of our followers, supporters around the world. It's been an incredible journey. Super proud of all of these 22 fabulous ladies. So props to all of you. But thank you so much. And here's to the next World Cup in another 4 years. Thank you. I've dropped the F-bomb on every stage I've been on for the last 3 days, so we'll just spare you that. Thanks for having us. Everyone have an amazing night.
Yeah.
Megan Rapinoe gets the last word there of the ESPYs last night. Nothing to write home about, yet nothing else to watch. So someone really could move in. Like, move in on that night and own it, but I don't know what it would be.
NBA draft. Just do it then. Just push it back.
Free agency starts that day.
We're just dying for something, really, on the last half of this week.
Well, I'm glad there's a baseball game tonight. I'm glad the Padres are back home starting tomorrow. Thank God. I need it in my life. I can't wait to get out to the ballpark this weekend. I'm hitting two of the three. I'm going Friday, and I think I'm going Saturday.
Well, you're going to get some good pitching matchups.
Yeah.
And
See if the I'm not a huge believer in momentum in baseball. You can't watch this Padres season and say you believe in momentum.
No.
Because
no.
Just when you think the Padres are rolling, you know, that's when they go on a four-game losing streak.
You can't watch the Padres and believe in momentum, right. But you can. Even momentum is a real thing. Ask the Nationals. Ask the Royals a few years ago.
Yeah, but not for the Padres.
And right, not for the Padres.
Every time you're ready to write off the season, they've looked terrible this
last
week.
Here comes three in a row.
Yeah, they beat the Dodgers three straight.
It kills you. It just kills you.
You want to see them carry over that great play from last weekend against the Atlanta Braves. I've got no idea what the Padres will look like this weekend,
I know.
Friday, Saturday,
None.
And Sunday.
It's a total enigma.
Yeah.
They are a total enigma. We'll talk to Andy Green tomorrow here on Ben and Woods, and we'll ask him, what do you do? How do you – you can't combat that, right? You just
– He's talked about consistency.
You got to be consistent. They're consistently bad, then they're consistently good. It's very, very strange. It's almost – you know, you'd rather them go win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose – the streaks are what's killing all of us.
We'll certainly get into the trade rumor that popped up again yesterday involving the Padres.
I can't believe it.
Coming up this morning.
I can't believe we got to do this again.
We'll talk with a couple of our longtime Ben and Woods friends. Rick Gosselin from the Talk of Fame Network. Longtime Dallas sports writer covering the NFL and other sports. Going to be with us at 6:35. And our AP friend, Bernie Wilson from the Associated Press.
Bern is back.
We have not chatted with Bernie yet on 97.3 The Fan. We'll talk with him. 8:35, our 8 o'clock hour, our regular features, Don't Do This, play some Real or Fake coming up as well. So that's what we've got on this Thursday. Woods, though, I want you to set this up because this was your idea.
Oh, boy.
And I have no idea what's about to happen.
You know, we're a show and we're partners. You should take credit or blame.
No, I like to distance myself.
Yes, you do. What if it's gold?
You get a lot of credit.
Then it's my credit. Yeah.
You know, Ben Reed's raps. It's your idea.
It's my idea.
I get credit for
I make
that.
You the star. That's what I'm all about. And there's a guy that works with us, the Hammer, who just he kills me. Dude, his Twitter kills me. He kills me on the air. And I thought, you know what? We got this guy sitting here. He's full of gold. He's a lunatic. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth. It's always funny. I said it yesterday. My wife texts me at least 3 out of 5 days and goes, Hammer's killing me this morning. Just killing me.
What am I doing these other 2 days?
In a good way. I don't know. You gotta be more consistent. You're like the Padres. You win three, you lose two. All right? You gotta step up your game, which is why I thought, man, we gotta do something. We gotta get Hammer on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, it's Hammer time.
Can't touch this? Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
It's just this the whole time.
Stop.
It was worth it for that.
It really was worth it. I know. Really,
we don't need to go on.
All right. But basically, here's what it is. Hammer, we're just going inside your mind. You can do anything you want. The floor is yours.
Anything I want.
Anything you want.
I can ask you any questions.
Ask me anything you want.
No, I mean, we have FCC regulations.
Right. There's rules, but... This is a peek inside your mind, so...
I remember I do have a bit of a reputation as a sportscaster to uphold.
Well, yeah.
Don't get us fired.
You're not saying it. So, Hammer,
okay.
The floor is yours.
So, I've always kind of wondered this. I know this about Jeff. The answer to this question for Jeff is Kevin Durant. Who's that one dude in sports? Ultimate fades on sight. No matter what, you got to fight him. Got to fight him as soon as you see him.
Ultimate fades on sight.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what it means either. No.
Oh, like if you got beef with somebody, hey, dog, that's fades on sight.
Fades on sight.
Yeah. I've never heard of this.
That's an easy
one. And this is why we bring in the Hammer.
Fades on sight. I've never heard that.
You've never heard that? Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Like, I got a couple of dudes in my life. Like, if I see them, it's fades on sight. Like, I just can't stand them.
You can't just say, like, it's on, I got to fight them?
No, it's fades on sight. They know it.
Fades on sight.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mutual agreement on both parties.
Like when...
So, like famous sports figures that when you see that person, it's fades on sight.
For me, Brock Osweiler. I'm a Texans fan. What that guy did to my organization, I will never forgive him. And he has such a punchable face.
He has a very, very punchable face. Ben, do you have any, how do I phrase this? Do you have anybody that when you see them, it's fades on sight?
I'm
You're not much of a fighter.
I'm not much of a fighter, but you know who it is.
Jim Gray.
No, not Jim Gray. It's not Jim Gray. It's Steve Alford.
Steve, you hate Steve Alford.
I cannot stand the guy. I'll tell you. I've heard stories about what kind of a dude he really is away from the basketball court. Don't like it, but whatever. You know, it's his life. But just then, the attitude facing San Diego State as a coach in New Mexico, and I used to have to sit behind him at Viejas Arena and see him talk to his players, and every single interaction just more and more dislike just built in me for that guy. And then he became the UCLA coach, burned out on that last year, got fired. I don't even know where did he land, somewhere else already, probably, because he's a good recruiter. He gets good players and then doesn't do anything with them. They never advance anywhere in the tournament. But I could not stand. Remember that year they beat San Diego State and he put the net around. Oh, yeah, that's right. He took over for a Musselman.
Yeah.
Nevada, we got to see him
again.
Yeah,
you got to see him again.
Yeah, you got to see him again.
The Mountain West schedule. Remember he beat San Diego State, put the net around his neck. I couldn't stand that.
When Ben sees Steve Alford.
I'm going to book Steve Alford during basketball season. I'm not going to tell Ben.
Fades on sight.
When Ben sees Steve Alford, it's fades on sight.
Absolutely.
Paul, do you have one that fades on sight?
I'll give you two.
It
was Jimmer Fredette.
Okay, yeah, Jimmer. But he's in, like, Thailand or something. Nobody even remembers him anymore.
Who was then replaced, for the same reasons, by Grayson Allen.
Oh, yeah, those two guys are terrible.
Punchable faces. I just can't stand them.
I got one that has really, he's really come to the forefront for me, and his name's Max Muncy, and he plays for the Dodgers. Max Muncy looks like, to me, he should be living under a bridge. And I say that 100%. Like, he looks like an actual troll. He looks like Nosferatu. Look that up if you don't know who Nosferatu is. When I see Max Muncy and his, like, weird little bean teeth and, like, his little like, when I see him, I expect him to walk in the clubhouse and just be, hey, guys. I can't stand him. And he's always whining about the strike zone. I don't like that he's a hybrid first baseman, second baseman. I hate the guy. I want to punch him in his mouth.
See, when we talk about fades on sight, it's just kind of a radio bit of who we don't like. Got to get the sense with Hammer that there's actual punches going to be thrown.
If Hammer 100%. Sees Brock Osweiler,
it's fades on sight. I can't even begin to tell you how hard I'm going to hit this guy.
All right.
I've never hit anyone in my entire life.
Professional NFL player.
Yeah, professional NFL player. You think he'd smoke you?
No, why are you kidding me? Versus Brock? Oh, my God.
I'm just trying to picture the Deadspin headline. Like, random dude attacks Brock Osweiler at...
Brock Osweiler gets
Quiznos.
Brock Osweiler gets hammered.
Boom.
Boom. Well, I loved it. That's Hammer Time. We'll do it every day this time.
This is
well
great.
Done. Really? I love it. Great. Okay. Really?
That was successful.
I loved it.
We'll get into some of the rumors going around with the Padres. Second half of the season starts tomorrow. It's time to look ahead, everybody. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Fades on sight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.